Friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, we are Easter people. So we'll say, Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Now, what do we do with that? Is Easter just like a once in a year thing? We just get some candy, we get some cool stuff, we have some family get-togethers, hopefully, and then we're done. We'll wait till next year. No! Right? We're still in the Easter season, and as Easter people living in the promise of resurrection, not for Jesus, but for all of us, it calls us to do something, to get out and do something about this great miracle. We've seen miracles at work, not just in Jesus' resurrection, but every day. So I encourage you to open your eyes to see just how God is active. But in order to do that, in order to see miracles happen, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat, right? So today, in the next week or so, is learning about just how we can do those things, to step out in faith. Literally, get out of the boat. We've been launching a six-week small group Bible study to do that, not just here on Sundays, but every day throughout the week. If you want to learn more about that, you can see our bulletins or our welcome desk or see me after worship to get plugged in with one of those home groups to study this book. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. That's the story that we heard today about Peter. Long before Jesus even went to the cross, Jesus was teaching his disciples, preparing them for what would happen afterwards, how they would be leaders and how they would lead others to Christ and remember that miracle. Now, today we're talking about facing challenges, not just like Peter facing the challenge of maybe the wind, the storm, the insurmountable challenge of walking on water when that's not normal, but how to conquer those fears. Today in that chapter that corresponds in this book study. Again, if you want to be part of this study, you can, or if you don't, you can just get the book on Amazon or something. It's a great book. But today's message is about seeing the wind. Did you catch that in today's reading again? We're looking at the same reading the last few weeks from different angles. Part of the reason why Peter started sinking was because he saw the wind. He looked at the natural science of it all and just doubted God. He saw the wind and began to be afraid. Author of this book says that after 2 years of battling nearly insurmountable problems, hunger, fatigue, desertion, hostile enemies, severe illness, and even death, the party of the Lewis and Clark expedition around 1803, they had finally reached the headwaters of the Missouri River. All their advanced information had led them to believe that once they had reached the Continental Divide, they would face about a half-day portage and then reach the waters of the Columbia River and then float on safely to the Pacific Ocean. They're on their way to hero status. They'd be the first Americans to conquer the West, get to the Pacific Ocean, and the hard part was just behind them. Or so they thought. Meriwether Lewis left the rest of his party behind one day to climb the bluffs that would enable him to see to the other side, hoping to see the waters that would carry them the rest of the way. Imagine what he felt when, rather than seeing a gentle sloping valley as expected, he was instead the first non-Native American to lay eyes on the Rocky Mountains. Now, what do you do when you think your biggest problems are behind you, only to find out you have been just warming up, right? How do you rally the rest of the troops? I picture Meriwether Lewis motioning to the rest of his party to stay behind a little longer while he tries to figure out how to break the news. Hang on a minute, guys. Don't come up just yet. I have a little surprise for you. Eventually, crossing the Rocky Mountains for the Lewis and Clark campaign would be perhaps the most supreme achievement of the whole trip. This challenge would call forth enormous creativity and perseverance. It would lead them to spectacular sights, unforgettable memories. It would build tremendous confidence because when they had tackled the Rocky Mountains, they would know that they could tackle anything. But on this side of the Rockies, of course, they could not know any of that yet. All they knew was that when they were hoping for a downstream ride, they had to climb their highest mountain. It says in Scripture, Peter was on his way to hero status as well. He had just proclaimed Jesus as Lord, and the hard part was behind him, getting out of the boat. He actually got out of the boat, and he was mastering his water walking business. And then it happened. Reality set in. As his initial enthusiasm subsided, he realized just how bad the storm was. He saw the wind. This little detail is intriguing. We would think that once Peter was actually experiencing the sensation of walking on water, then whether the surface was smooth or choppy was really no great deal of difference. The normal law of physics would already be pretty much inoperable anyway. But the gospel writer Matthew apparently wants us to understand that even for someone who has walked in faith for a while, storms can be a pretty disruptive business. And Peter saw the wind. The same thing happens to us. We launch into a great adventure, start a new job, take on a stretching ministry assignment, begin a family. In the initial days, we are filled with hope, and we are out of the boat. We are on the way to hero status, or at least achieving something worthwhile. Then reality sets in. So think about it. We're not Peter, but we have lives that are pretty similar. Have you ever had an instance where you just barely got through probably the biggest obstacle of your life, only to see right in front of you another obstacle even bigger? Maybe. Maybe it was something to deal with being in the hospital. Maybe it was going through a year of COVID, and then now something new happens. Maybe it's finally graduating from school, high school, how crazy that can be, and then going into college where it gets even crazier, where you're all on your own. Or maybe something even disastrous happens. I'm guessing you have an event like that going on in your life either right now or you have in the past. And if you're feeling like, oh yeah, you're not speaking to me yet, Pastor, guess what? It's going to happen. There's going to be a mountain in front of you, just like the Lewis and Clark campaign, and there's going to be water so deep that you feel like you can't get through. Now, to help you remember that, I want to bring in some friends of mine, are part of our Bethlehem family, Mr. and Mrs. Rick and Robin Hopkins. They have a story for you today. So you want to come forward, guys. We've been talking a little bit through this, and they're super nervous because who wouldn't be at this point? But they're just like everybody else. We all have different lives, but we all have same fears and frustrations, and we all learn how to conquer them in some way. They have something to share with you that happened this last year, and maybe even a few things before everybody was going through a challenge this last year. So thank you, Rick and Robin. I'll let ladies first maybe go here first here, so thanks. We'll get you here. Thanks. So thank you for coming up.
You're welcome. Thanks
for
having
us. We're excited. So what's been some of the challenges that you guys had to face?
The first one that comes to mind was 26 years ago. I was 33. We had two young daughters, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was big and scary. And
how old were you then?
33.
33 and diagnosed?
Yeah. Yeah. No family history, you know, nothing. It was a shock. And having two young daughters was, it was a fear that I had, you know, what does this mean for them? But God was faithful, and he kept saying, trust me, I'll get you through this. And he did. So
I guess the biggest part on me when Robin was going through the surgeries was praying to God that he'd guide the doctors, but of all, that his will is done, not what, he knew what I wanted, but that his will would be done with it.
Yeah, it seems kind of crazy. Like, we live in a modern day of medicine where people beat cancer, but sometimes they don't, and it's still really scary.
Sure is. It sure is.
So that was when you were a younger woman.
Yes.
You've been experienced now. How have you learned and take that to maybe the next thing, maybe perhaps?
The next thing wasn't big and, well, it was big and scary, but it, Rick decided he wanted to start his own business.
Pretty so, scary.
Yeah.
Any new business owners maybe out there? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that started, left the full-time job, went in, nothing to start with. And at this point, over 500 customers, just by word of mouth and mainly with God. The biggest thing on that was the Bible verse Robin had on my bathroom mirror. Trust in the Lord and your plans will succeed. And that's basically what did it all.
I like that. I think there's a famous phrase that if you want to make God laugh, you tell him what your plans are.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
But on your bathroom window, you had the opposite, that whatever your plans are, you're going to trust him anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Commit your plans.
And that'll prove to be pretty significant for what you have maybe shared together the last few years.
Let's see. A few years after that, Rick had a really bad bicycle accident. He fell off his bicycle while we were riding down a hill, and he was critically injured. He had a brain injury. He broke his collarbone, punctured a lung, had a really long recovery, and has affected him. But that was big and scary for me more than him because he doesn't remember any of it, which is really a blessing.
Maybe.
For him. I think so. But you know, eventually, I remembered God is faithful, and He kept saying, "Trust me, I'll get you through this," and He did.
Then I guess the next big thing is when COVID came.
Yeah. That's something everybody could realize. When everybody's life had to shut down. And you guys experienced that just like all of us.
We did.
And what was it like for you?
On Friday, the 13th of March, I packed up all my stuff from work, and I was headed home to work from home. Actually,
who doesn't love working from home, right?
I thought this is going to be great. And we, you know, all of my coworkers were like, "Yeah, we're going to see you guys in, you know, maybe 2 months, maybe three." And on my way home, I stopped at a dealership, car dealership, to pick up a car for a 24-hour test drive. And drove that car home, parked it in the garage. Rick and I were downstairs about an hour and a half later and heard some strange noises coming from the garage, and I went to investigate, and this car was in flames in our garage. And that was probably the biggest, scariest thing ever. I just freaked out. We had to grab the dogs and get out of the house, and we had no house. We had nothing.
So what happened? The fire from the car spread to the garage, and then the garage spread to
the entire house.
The entire house.
Yeah.
So just as everybody's lives were being shaken up, being forced at home, God gave you another obstacle to strengthen your faith.
Yes.
By taking away your home.
Yep. Everything that was familiar and comfortable. And
so what were you doing when, like, the flames were going, the fire department's on their way? What was all that like? This is like the first week of COVID, right?
Yep.
Yeah. COVID didn't even, I mean,
that wasn't even a phase
didn't even cross my mind.
Right. What were you guys doing when the flames were coming up?
Rick was trying to put it out, and I was controlling the dogs and talking to 911.
And basically everything burned. Took them a month and a half for the insurance to get the car out. And if you got the one picture.
Yeah.
Took a month and a half to get the car out. 6 months from then to get all the permits finally to start rebuilding. And the good thing is, one of the things God blessed us with is friends, neighbors, and all the contractors that he had to build the house, that they had it all sealed up before it snowed last winter. And 6 months later, it was done, from when they started, finally.
So the first few months where everybody was locked in, you guys were searching for apartments without a home and trying to deal with all the paperwork.
Yeah.
Still holding on no glimmer. You still wanted your house back, right? Yeah. You guys could have done anything.
Yep.
You could have said, I'm going to Florida.
Yep.
Talked about that.
Talked about it.
Rick said, you go ahead.
So what made you stay? What made you want to rebuild?
We're both very stubborn, for one thing. But we have a really nice spot for our house, and it just, we really enjoyed it. We loved our house. We loved our lot. Just, and God just said, trust me. Trust me.
Yeah. Now, when you were, we were talking about this a little earlier. As you were basically trying to build up your whole life again with your home, everybody else had their own things going on and challenges. You talked about standing in front of the home as it was basically being engulfed with flames. And you had a picture taken. And you gave me that to share with everybody. So I want to share that for us today. This looks like the corner of your home, right?
Look at
the nice bay window.
Yeah.
So you can see the whole roof is up. It's a hole in the house of the wall. But something was striking to you as you sat there watching your dream of your house go. What were you looking at?
That cross, that stained glass cross.
A stained glass cross. Yep. You can see it there. Little, was it maybe a little charred, but it was still hanging.
There was soot on it, but that was it.
And there was, I mean, there was a wood ceiling in the house. That all came down. There were, the fire department tore it down in that. But it never did anything to the cross that was hanging on the edge of the roof.
That said, Jesus is here. He was here. He is here. He always will be here.
And we mentioned that was sort of like a September 11th moment where all throughout the rubble, God is still there. His cross was still hanging there. Mm-hmm. And you guys couldn't care less. You knew that house might be gone, but there's still tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And another full year later, where are you guys at?
We're in our new home.
We're in a brand new home. Let's give them a round of applause for that. That's not easy. Now, this is a neat story. I wouldn't say fun because it probably was not fun at all. It's an interesting story because stuff like this happens. It might be different. It might be more unique to ourselves, but your challenges that you had to face and overcoming maybe the fears that were running through your mind all come back to this image that you could stand confidently in front of your house as it's going away and be content because of the main thing about getting out of the boat, the main thing Peter was concerned about, that we're all concerned about. It's the presence of God. We talk about it a lot, but it's something that can't be underestimated. Jesus is here. He is alive. We have a very present and loving God, and he is the one that's still going to be there when it all goes up in flames, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be there still for maybe what else is next. Hopefully nothing as as hard as this. Maybe you're down off of the back of the mountain slope.
Maybe.
Hopefully at this point. We'll pray for that.
But if not, he's with us.
And you still have the cross.
We do?
We do. Mm-hmm. Still in a window?
We haven't decided what window to put it in. Yeah.
That one's going to be priceless.
Yeah.
So, thank you. This was a helpful reminder that we might have been all complaining about various things this last year, how our life were shaken up, but some of us were shaken up a little more than others. And God is good through it all. So,
all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
So let us, let's say a prayer today. Thank you for coming up, because you definitely have gotten out of the boat and maybe are walking on water still today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our very present God. Thank you for being there when it seems like no one else is. And when all things are up in smoke, you will be the one always remaining. Because you are alive, that you can beat death, you can beat all evil, and you can beat anything that comes our way. And because we belong to you, we have that same hope. We thank you for filling our lives with wonderful neighbors and friends and people that can give such a great witness to you. Help us be as good of a witness today for others. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.